We're holding on Hey Amud Aleph, the third line. So we were learning that we have machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. We said we had a machlokas about whether Oseves Benoi applies to a hybrid between a domestic and wild animal. Now we had, and we talked about also there was machlokas between them as far as where Oseves Benoi applies only to domestic animals. So we had to figure out whether it applies to a hybrid and would depend on which parent of this hybrid was the domestic animal and which was the wild one. Then we said also we have the case of Kisi Adam, of whether you have to do Kisi Adam for such a creature. So on weekdays, it wouldn't be a problem. Do the Kisi Adam, just do it without a bracha. But the question is whether on Yom Tov, you'd be allowed to shecht such an animal and do Kisi Adam. And then we have a third case where it's Negea, where also we said there we didn't have Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, because as we will see, as we work it through now, and then we have a third case involving Zroel Chayayim Vekeva, the parts of an animal of Cholin, which the Torah tells us you have to give to a Kohen, which we'll learn more about in detail near the end of the Masechta. So there also, that also applies only to domestic animals, and there also you have the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether a person is Chayav to give them or not. So we have all these cases, then it comes out, the Gemara says, in the end, the underlying machlokas is when the Torah says, in the case of Oseves Benoi, and when it says in the case of Zroyel Chayayim Vakeva, or as the Gemara calls them for short, Matanos, the gifts. Anyway, in each of those, the Torah says that it applies to a seh. The Torah says it applies to a shor, which is an ox, or also a seh, which is a generic term, including sheep and goats. Does it mean, even if the animal is only part seh, or would it apply only if the animal is completely seh? So in the end, we said that's machlokas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that the word seh means even mikta seh, and Rabbi Eliezer says only that it has to be a complete seh in order to be subject to these dinim. So Amar Rapapa. So Rapapa says, here's the bottom line. Now that we understand the machlokas that way, then let's go through these three cases, and we also have to consider within each of these three dinim, we're going to have to distinguish between which type of animal was the father and which was the mother, domestic or wild, as the case may be. So Amar Rapapa Hilchach. So therefore, now that we're saying that, and we also said, therefore, it comes out that both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer have a suffix where the Chosh and Lezer Ha'av, do we count the father's contribution as well, or do we ignore that and count only the mother's? So now, Hilkach, therefore, in Kisi Adam, when it comes to Kisi Adam, where if it wasn't a matter of a suffix, we had learned before that we said you're not allowed to shecht it on Yom Tov because it's a suffix whether you should do Kisi Adam or not, and you don't want to get, and yet you can't shecht it and then put yourself into that suffix where then you may not be able to do that mitzvah on Yom Tov. So the Inyan Kisi Adam, Umatonis, and also when it comes to the Matonis, to Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, Loi Mashkachas, the only way you're going to have to be able to explain the Machlokas, El V'Tzvi HaBalat Yosha. In both of those cases, you're going to have to assume that the male parent was a deer and the female was a goat. And therefore, the Bein Rabbanan, the Bein Rabbi Eliezer, Masakul Hui Choshem Zara'av Aloi. Now, since both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer have a suffix, whether we take into account Zara'av or not, and the Kamifagi, the Seva, Philomitza Seh, and the argument is only on whether the word seh includes, it means 100% seh, or whether it's enough for, or whether it's enough that it's part seh. So now, in other words, we're going to go like this. So you can't shecht. So as far as a koi, this hybrid animal, you can't shecht it on Yom Tov because if choshen l'zara'av, then it might be, then it's part deer, and a deer requires kisi adam. Maybe we ignore the fact that its father was a deer, and therefore it would be potter from kisi adam, and therefore you can't do the kisi adam on Yom Tov misafik because it might be breaking Yom Tov. And even like we learned yesterday, you have ashes or dirt or whatever available for the purpose. There are various reasons why you shouldn't do it on Yom Tov when it's a safik, because that those ashes or dirt might only be available for something which is vadai, which vadai requires kisi adam, but not a safik, because people may misunderstand and think that this is actually a chaya and come to be machter, it's chaylev, whatever. So therefore, so it can't, so now it can't be And now Rashi goes into the details of it here. Here you can't say that it would be that the male was a, that the male was a goat and the female was a deer, because then and make a goat, then it wouldn't work, according to the Chachamim, because then there's no question if the female parent was a deer, no question, since the Chachamim holds seva for the mikta seh, the same way they're going to hold sviva for the mikta svi, and therefore it would require kisi adam. Now, Rashi points out, if we had only Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, then it could go either way, because he doesn't hold of seva filo mitzaseh. So therefore, so it would work either way, whichever parent was which. But we want to make that, Mishnah also be able to work according to the Chachamim. So that is why the Papa says that in those cases, necessarily we have to be talking about a male deer and a female goat. The Rashba points out also where Papa wants to be able to, as much as possible, have that the various dinim are all talking about the same scenario, and then it's more straightforward this way. Now that's as far as kisi adam. As far as the matonis, as far as zoyel chayayim mekeva, Rabbi Eliezer is going to say it's potter because it's only choshim lezera av, in which case again it's only a part seh, and therefore it's potter. Or ein choshim lezera av, and it would be chayav. And since it's a suffik hamotzi mechaver levaraya, you koyin want to take you koyin want to get these matonis, then you're going to have to prove that the halacha is choshim lezera av, and you can't because it's a suffix in halacha. The Chachamim are going to hold, meanwhile, that it's chayav, because they're going to hold that it's chayav in half the matonis. Half of them you chayav, because it's part seh, and the other half, we're going to tell them amotzi mechaver levaraya. Now again, Rashi says here we can't say that it means that the male was a goat and the female was a deer, because then according to the Chachamim it would also be potter, because how do we know that we have, even we hold seva filo mitzaseh, but how do you know there's mitzvah seh here? If we say in choshem zera ha'av, there's no father over here, then the whole thing would be a tzvi, the whole thing would be a deer, and I'm with mechaver levaraya. So as far as that then, so as far as those two cases, says Rav Papa, necessarily we have to be talking about the male parent was a deer, the female one was a goat, and in both those cases you have the same underlying machlokas of seva for the mitzvah seh, which is going to drive what the halacha is. And l'inyan oisav esbenoi, continues Rav Papa, when it comes to oisav esbenoi, mashkach haslav, then actually the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether it will apply to a koi, that will work. Ben mitai shabal at tzivya, ben mitzvi abal at yasha. That'll work actually, no matter which one was the parent, which parent was the domestic animal, and which one was the wild, animal. That can work. Then the machlokas would still work in either of those cases. Namely, b'tayish aval atzviya, if it was a male goat and a female deer, and as we learned yesterday, then you actually have three generations over here, because then you have the daughter animal herself later on gave birth to a child, and the question is as far as the second and third generation, what would be the din? Uli Isura. So then, as far as the Isur, so we're not talking about as far as Malkus you can't give for a Suffolk, but an Isur you can have even just because of a Suffolk. So as far as the Isur, the Rabbanan Savri, Duma Choshish and Lezer Ha'av, so the Chum say maybe we have to be concerned that Choshish and Lezer Ha'av, and therefore, b'seva afilu mitzaseh minan, and that we do say that seh means even part seh, but also, so therefore it would be also, because even though it's true the female parent over here was a deer, and on the face of it, you should say, well, wait, oisav esbenoi doesn't apply when it's not complete seh, but fine, but the fact is, we have that suffix, and therefore the second generation, maybe we do consider the second generation to be a goat, since her father was a goat, and therefore that's enough reason to say that it should be also. But there can't be Malkus, because there can't be Malkus, of course, because that would be Hasra Suffolk. It would be if they wanted to give Masra, then they couldn't, because they don't know for sure that it's considered a goat in Halacha. But Rabbi Eliezer Sava, where's Rabbi Eliezer? Is going to hold Nehi Nami to Choshim Zera'av. Sure, but even if Choshim Zera'av, but he holds Seva for the Mikta Seva Yamin, and he holds, we never say that Seh means part Seh, so therefore this second generation here is not considered a Seh, because she's not 100% a Seh. Regardless, she is part deer. The mother was a deer, And if we don't count the father at all, then she's not goat at all. And if we can't count the father, then she's only half goat. And half goat is not enough to trigger the din. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says there wouldn't even be an issur to shechet in that case. And continue so. Therefore, in that case, when the female parent was the deer, then that's why the chachamim are going to hold that it would be an issur to shechet it, but no malchus involved. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would hold you even allowed to, because he doesn't hold that se includes niktas se. Okay. Ooh, and b'tzviya bala tiyasha. Well, the malchus. Then we can also say that they're arguing as far as the other way around, where the male parent was a deer and the female was a goat. And now again, you have the second, and you have the sin, and now you have that second generation, that hybrid animal, now mated and had a baby. So now again, the question is, as far as the second and third generation, and now actually with the malchus, and now there can be an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim as far as malchus. Rabban and Sabri, namely the Chachamim, are going to hold me, Nami the Choshem Mazar Ha'ab, even if we say that Choshem Mazar Ha'ab, fine, it doesn't matter. Seva, for the Mitzvah Se Amrinan, we can say that the definition of Se includes even part Se, and therefore the second generation would be considered a Se for this purpose, because the mother was a goat. So either we consider the second generation to be all goat because of her mother, or we consider her to be half goat because of her mother and her father together. Very well. Either way, she's considered enough of a goat, enough of a seh, lahalacha, that therefore Sevespina is going to apply. So we would say that, Omar Kinemle, and we would actually give him Malchus, because there, it's not even a matter of suffix. It's a matter of vadai that we would definitely, once we say that let seva for the mikta seh, then definitely there's Malchus involved. Definitely, it's also Daraisa. But Rabbi Eliezer Sava, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds Isura Ika, sure, there is an Isur, Malkus Leka, however, there's no Malkus. Isura Ika, there is an Isur, Juma Choshem Zerahab, Juma Ein Choshem Zerahab, because maybe we don't count Zerahab, Vahai Semal Yehu, and in that case, this is 100% Se, because then we would ignore the fact that the father was a deer, and therefore the second generation would be considered all goat, and therefore she and her child would be both all goat, and therefore there would be an Isur. But Malkus Leka, but there wouldn't be Malkus, Juma Choshem Zerahab, because maybe we are concerned about Zerahab, the Seva, and that would mean that the second generation is half goat, half deer, and the Seva for the Mr. Seva Amrinan, and to say that we count Se. Only, even if it's only mikta set, we wouldn't say, and therefore even in that case we might we so one way or the other, in other words, either. So we don't know whether the second generation is actually considered a set, 100% seh, or whether she's considered to be only 50% seh, but that's not enough to make her a seh, so therefore Rabbi Eliezer would hold that you would be also to shech them, but there would be no malchus, which would mean that when we learned at the top of Ayin Tes Amud Beis that Rabbi Eliezer had said that koi ein oisiv es b'noi no yeg boi, that oisiv es b'noi does not apply to a koi, he wouldn't mean as we thought all along, that means you're allowed to shecht it, it would mean you're not allowed to shecht it, however it's not noyeg the full din of it to say that it's actually definitely also daraisa, and therefore that there would be malchus involved. So that clarifies the opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in the respective cases. So now let's go on and talk more about this koi creature. All this time we've been saying that a koi is a hybrid of a domestic animal and a wild animal, a goat, and then some kind of wild animal that can hybridize with it. All this time we've been saying a deer, but as we talked about yesterday, there are different understandings among the Rishonim, and it also is, you have to look at it biologically, which wild animals are genetically close enough to a goat to be able to produce offspring, let alone to be able to produce the next generation, like we just said over here, where it can be a wild, it can be a mountain goat or a gazelle or a deer, or there are various possibilities that are brought up. Okay. So now let's talk more about the definition of a koi. So, Amar Rav Yehuda, koi beri b'fnei atzmihi. The koi is a type of creature of its own. So in other words, unlike we were saying all this time that a koi is a hybrid of a goat and some kind of wild animal, now we're saying that actually Rabbi Yehuda is defining that no, a koi is actually a separate species of its own. Now, we have different dinim where a koi comes up. Because There can actually be different definitions of a koy for different purposes. Here he's focusing on the when we talk about in the next perek, for example, when we talk about this matter of kisi adam, then he's saying that we're talking about it's a separate species. Meaning, in other words, Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda is not referring back to the machloikas of Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim. There's no question Rabbi Yezer and the Chachamim, their machloikas is going to be based on the fact that we're dealing with a hybrid over here, and as we said before, we're dealing with the question of sev afilamit to sev. Rabbi Eliezer is telling us that, in other words, it actually explains like this. The Gemara tells us in Bechoris, we'll learn it in a few months, Chaz Hashem, rules about hybridizing animals, one of them, among them, for example, are kosher and non-kosher species are not able to interbreed, and another one is, it says, that that domestic and wild animals are not able to interbreed with the except, now everybody holds that except for Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, who disagree with him, where we were talking all this time about a domestic goat and a wild animal. So now, so Rashi refers to a relevant Gemara in Bava Kamma that explains this point, actually in Bechoros that says this point, that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim who disagree with him will hold that there is a case where Behema and Chaya can interbreed, but there are other Chachamim who are not part of that Machloikas at all, who hold they can't, and according to them, necessarily a Koi must be a species of its own, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda over here was talking according to that opinion. The Chachamim did not figure out whether it's considered a behema or chaya. We did learn in the third parak. So in particular, again, as Tosfos says, we're talking about over here as far as the mitzvah of kisi adam, as far as whether you can shecht it on yontiv. Now we learned in the third perek, we learned about the simonim of the horns, the differences in the horns between domestic and wild animals, and we said you have certain simonim that apply to the horns that you can tell thereby whether it's a behemoth or a chaya. Why don't we check? So Tosfos says they may not have been able to, you have certain details that are mentioned over there. Chadudos, where they have to be sharp, and they have to be one layer on top of the other, and they have to have hooves in them. So it's hard to tell. The koi is kind of an edge case between these, and therefore it's hard to tell whether it actually fits the criteria of a chaya. So that'll be relevant to kisi adam. It's also relevant, for example, whether you can eat the chaylev of it, because you can eat the chaylev of a chaya, of a kosher chaya. You can't eat the chaylev of a kosher behema, and therefore, so if we don't know, then it means you can't eat the chaylev of it. Rav Nachman says koi is a ayol habor. So in fact, Rav Nachman says the koi is the wild ram. So in other words, it's not a suffix. It's an animal that lives in the forests. And it's a wild animal. Meaning, Rav Nachman holds, as Moshe is going to bring a brayza soon, that it is a chaya for sure, and you can in fact do kisi adam for it on Yom Tov, which would mean that brayza would disagree. Now, like this, we said a koy is a suffix, therefore you can't check it on Yom Tov. So Rav Nachman and a brayza we're going to bring to support him is going to say that no. It's definitively a chaya, and therefore there's no question that that's chaya than kisi adam and so forth. So the Gemara says ketanoi. In fact, this is a machlokas tanoi. A brayse says koi is a ayel habor. The koi is the wild is the wild ram, which therefore according to that way of looking at it is a chaya. The Yesh Omrim, but Yesh Omrim, which usually means, Yesh Omrim usually means Reb Nosson, Zeh Abomin Atayishim, that's the idea that no, a koi is one that's a hybrid of a goat and a gazelle. Reb Yossi Omrim, koi beri b'fnei atzmi. Reb Yossi says that the koi is considered a creature of its own type, it's a separate species, and the Chachamim did not decide whether it's a chaya or a behema. So now, in other words, when we had before, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's very b'fnei and the Chacham couldn't decide, then that's the opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, is following that opinion of Rabbi Yossi the Tana. Meanwhile, Rabbi Nachman, who said that it's the Eilam Bor, is following the Tana Kama of the Spreisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I'm a min behemah here. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says another way of looking at it. It's actually a type of behemah. And you want to know, I'll tell you, Bashobes Dushoi, there was a family of Dushoi, Hoyumagadman, and Adoram Adorim, they used to raise herds of them So one point is, in other words, you can't really raise herds of wild animals. So therefore, that shows that it must be a domestic animal. So in other words, the point is, like this, we have a number of places in Shas where we talk about a koi. The question is, does every time, does it mean the same creature? Not necessarily. So in other words, is it, so the way of looking at it, all we're actually talking about, are they arguing what is the definition of koi? There are different species that might be identified as the koi, and they're arguing about which one is which. Or are they saying that we have, the Torah tells us there are three types of domestic animals and seven types of wild animals that are kosher. The question would be, therefore, is this an 11th species, which is not any of the above? And therefore, the question is, which one does it belong to, the Hamer or Chaya? Okay. Then you have other opinions on this subject as well, that the Ramban explains that when we say when Rabbi Yossi says koi beri b'fnei atzmi v'loi chlir b'chachamim, it means it's definitely a beri b'fnei atzmi, it's definitely a creature of its own. But the question is only it's neither chaya nor behema, so therefore, so it means, in other words, that there's nothing that definitively puts it in the category of behema and chaya, and therefore, in effect, it's like something in between them. It's partial. It's for some purposes in halacha would be considered a behema. For some purposes, it would be considered a chaya. This comes up, for example. So you have there's mishnayos in Masechta and Masechta Bikurim that talk about this. And in a similar vein, you have, for example, you have a perek that's appended to Masechta Bikurim in most editions of mishnayos and Gemara, because that talking about an androgynous. You have the same thing, an androgynous who has both male and female organs. Then you have the question: is he considered a beri b'fnei atzma? Is he considered basically a third gender that's neither male or female, or is it a suffix? And therefore, for some purposes, we treat him like a male and others like a female. So here you have, as far as a koi, you have a similar question over here. Is it really considered, is it just that it's a suffix? It's definitely either behema or chaya, and we're just not sure which one. Or is it maybe the possibility that, it's actually considered a third category, neither behema nor chaya? Okay. So we have several different opinions on the identity and the definition of a koi. So the Gemara goes on in this connection. Omer of Zera, Omer of Safra, Omer of Amnona, Hani Izi Debola, the forest goats. Rashi defines Izi Halavonim. These are the goats that live in Lebanon. Bola is an Aramaic word for a forest. So those type of goats, Kshelis, the Gavim Mizbeach, those would be kosher to bring on the Mizbeach as goats, because even though they live in the forest, they're still considered goats. They're still considered domestic goats. Namely, how does Reb Zera get that? Savalok, he had the Amar Reb Yitzchak, because Reb Zera, then this chain of Chachamim, going back to Reb Hamnuna, it holds like Reb Yitzchak. Reb Yitzchak has Eser Behemoth Mona Akosur. The Torah lists for us 10 animals that are kosher, 3 domestic and 7 wild, Vituloy, and that means, according to that opinion, there are no other ones. Vahani, now these goats of Levonin, Midaloy Kosher and Kachosher Lehu, Vahani Chayas, since they're not listed together with the Chayas, now they definitely have simone kashrus, and yet they're not listed in the pasuk. Shmamino de eiz ninu, therefore you can see they must be considered in the category of goat. And therefore said it must be just they're goats, they're Lebanon goats, but nevertheless they're goats, and therefore they would be considered domestic animals and kosher to bring as korbanos. So the Gemara asks. So in other words, you have two different ways of looking at it. So that's according to the Yitzchak, there were only 10 and no more. Whereas, as we said before, there were another way of understanding the Machlokas and the Braisa before was that maybe we said there could even be an 11th species, and that would be the Kori. Okay. Nowadays, you have Nosson Slifkin, who writes a lot about these things, about the identity of animals in the Torah. He says, in modern scientific classification, altogether you have 172 types of animals that have the simonym of Malagera and Matfus Parasa. So obviously we would have to say, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that all those 172 somehow fit into the Torah's 10 categories. In other words, again, you have, just as we're saying over here, there are many different kinds of goats. The same way, for example, there would be many different kinds of deer, and the Torah would include them, let's say, under the category of tzvi, and the same thing with all the other ones. Okay. Maski for Rav Acha Bayakov. So Rav Acha Bayakov says, how do you know that? Wait, Rav Hanunah is telling us that it means there are exactly 10, and therefore anything that, and therefore this goat has to be in the category of goat and a domestic animal. Why? The Ema Ayol Tzvipa. Why don't we say that we have a, why don't we say we have a Prat Tukalav here? When the Torah lists the wild animals, it mentions the seven of them, and that's, that would be a Prat. And then it continues in the next pasuk, v'chol behema, any animal that has, that chews its cud and has split hooves, klal, then that would be a klal. And then from prat to klal, nasa klal, musaf ala prat. And we have a rule that when we have a prat and then a klal, then it means that it includes not just the prat, but not just the prat, but all, oh, but everything else. Ikatuva, and that would mean there are many wild animals. So therefore, we should say that this Levonan goat should be considered a chaya. It's not mentioned. Okay, that's we would include it from the prat to klal. So the Gemara answers him, came kolhani proti lamali. Well, in that case, the Torah wouldn't have had to give all the protein that it did. It wouldn't have to list the seven kosher wild animals that it did. It could have just listed one of them, and then it could have just listed one of them, and we would do prat or klal and include all of them. So therefore, that shows that no, in fact, it can't be. Okay. However, Racha Brei D'Ravika says, fine, but how do you know that these forest goats are in the category of goat? Fine, they can't be in the category of some of the wild animals mentioned in the pasuk, because it's clear they're not anything like them, but the Duma Mina Da'aka, you know. Maybe these forest goats are in the category of the Akoi, which is one of the seven kosher wild animals listed over there. And in fact, Rashi on the pasuk translates Akoi as the mountain goat. So in that case, then, so maybe this is considered. Maybe this is that. And Omelet of Acha Breda Rova Lorabashi, and Rav Acha Breda Rova said to Rav Ashi, but Amelot of Acha Breda of Ivia Lorabashi, or the sailors of Acha Breda of Ivia, asked him, Beduma Minuta Ta'oya Minuta Zemerninu. Maybe they belong to the species of Ta'oy or Zemer, which are also among the kosher wild animals that are listed over there. The point is, in other words, we don't know for sure. Some of them we can clearly identify. When you have the total list, seven of them, Ayol, Tzvi, V'yachmo, V'akli, V'dishin, V'soy, V'zomer, we're not 100% familiar with what some of these are. So maybe the Akli includes the forest goat, or maybe the Ta'oy, or maybe the Zemer includes the forest goat. So how do you know then? So maybe in fact they should be considered wild animals. Further on, the Gemara is going to mention there's a creature called Shur Habur, the wild ox. We'll talk about that soon. It can mean the buffalo or something, namely the Ta'oi, if it's a Chaya or a Behema. So now clearly we have to be holding that Ta'oi is considered a Chaya, and therefore we're saying that maybe the mountain, maybe this forest goat is considered part of that species. So the point is, in other words, so how can we say as a definitive statement that the forest goat is definitely a behema and definitely kosher to bring out as a korban? Maybe not. Maybe it's part of one of these species that I mentioned in the pasuk, which we don't actually know the translation of. In fact, actually, so there are Rishonim who offer translations of all of them, and in particular the Zemer, Rav Sadia Gaon, in his translation, translates as a giraffe. So then there's no question this forest goat wouldn't be in that category, but the Gemara is saying over here that maybe, after all, is in fact the Zemer the giraffe, or could it be some other kind of animal? Okay? So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Chanan Rav Ashi. So in fact, Rav Chanan says to Rav Ashi, Amei Mashari Tabayu. You should know, when it comes to these forest goats, these Levonin goats, Amemer actually allowed their fat to be eaten. He held they're definitely a chaya. So not like Rav Hamnuna, who holds that they're definitely a behemah. Okay, so now this question comes up again. Bominir Abba Breder Minyomin Berchia Merahuna Bachia. Hani Ita Debala, these forest goats, these Levonin goats, Mahu Legabi Mizbeach. Would you be allowed to bring them as a korban on a Mizbeach? So here we said before, Rav Hamnuna said definitely yes. But now we just said there's another opinion. On the contrary, Amema says that they're definitely wild animals, and wild animals you don't bring as a korban. So now Abba Breid of Yam Bachia wants to know, so what is the din? Can you bring them as korbanos? Omalei. So Rav Huna Bachia tells him, well, let's look back at the let's consider a machlokas tanoim on the subject. Rav Huna Bachia tells him, Ad kan le pligid of Yosi v'Rabbanon el b'shur habor. You know what? Rav Yosi and the Rabbanon are arguing only as far as the wild ox. What the wild ox is, now there are different opinions about it among the poskim, and one possibility is that the shor habor over here actually means the buffalo. So then the question is going to be whether the buffalo is considered a domestic animal or not. So in fact, the Goyim already say that apparently in the Goyim's times, buffaloes first became more widely known in the world. We don't mean the American buffalo, of course; those were discovered only later. But we mean the Asian buffalo or whatever. Yeah. So you do have to do kisei adam, for example, but without a bracha. So Rav Huna Bachia tells him, so ditznan b'lun in a mishnah shor habor min behemahu. The shor habor, this wild ox, is considered a behema according to the chachamim. Rav Yosi omer min chaya. Rav Yosi says that it's a type of chaya. And the machlokas is the rabbanan sabri, the rabbanan hold midi patagumin and tor bola. Now one of the animals on the list is the ta'oi, and Targum Onkelos translates it as tor bola. Tur means ox in Aramaic, and bola, like we said before, means forest. So it means the forest ox. So therefore, it would mean the type of ox that lives in the forests of Lebanon. So therefore, on the other hand, we translate it sure the ox of the Levonin, meaning the behemoth. Therefore, they hold it must be a type of behemoth because an ox is a behemoth, and therefore so is this. Rabbi Yosi suffer. Rabbi Yosi holds midik hoshav lebahani chayes. Yeah, but it's listed in the list of chayes, midik chayehu. Therefore, that implies that it's a type. That's a type of chayah. Had it not been listed, then we would say it's called a sure. Because of the name, Tosfos wonders in that case. Well, what about before? We said the Eil Habor. We said the wild ram is considered a coin of Nachman, is considered a chaya, even though it has the name ram in its name. And the answer is because there you have Ayol and you have Eil. Ayol means a deer, which is a wild animal, and you also have Ayil, which is a ale, which is a ram. But over here, sure, if it was a domestic animal, it wouldn't be called a shur. If it was a wild animal, it wouldn't be called a shur in the first place. The very fact that it's called a shur, say the chacham, is enough for it to be marked as a domestic animal. Whereas Rabbi Yosi is saying, yeah, but it's listed among the wild animals. Avohani, but now when it comes to these forest goats, which are not listed at all. So the only reason Rabbi Yosi is saying that we would consider these wild oxen, the buffalo or whatever, to be considered wild animals, because they're actually listed in the Torah among the wild animals, Abohani. But says Rav Huna Bachia, when it comes to these forest goats from the forest of Levanon, it doesn't list them in the pasuk at all, and they do bear the name goat. Then everybody would agree that they're goats, and therefore yes, they are kosher to be brought as korbanos, and their chela would be awesome. But again, Master for Racha Brei Derevika, but Racha Brei Derevika has the same question as before. The Duma Mina de Akri Ninu. The fact is, maybe they belong to the species of, maybe they're a subspecies of Akri, and they'd be considered wild animals. Omale Ravina, the Ravashi. And Ravina says to Ravashi, the Duma Mina de Ta'oi, Mina de Zemer Ninu. Maybe they belong to this, maybe they're a subspecies of Ta'oi or Zemer. So how can you say it's a definitive thing that they are definitely kosher to be brought as korbanos and that they're definitely behemoth? And in fact, Omale Rav Nachman, Ravashi, and Rav Nachman says to Ravashi, goes Abach, changes it to Rav Chonon, like we had before. Amema, Shori Tabayu, you should know that Amema actually allowed the fact of them to be eaten, which means he clearly disagreed with them being behemoths necessarily. He held that they're chayas, and therefore that's fine to eat their fat, their chedav. Okay, so we have several different creatures that we discussed now in the Gemara, various hybrids and various animals that bear the same name as domestic animals, but the question is whether they actually are domestic or whether they're wild, as far as the various dinim, then whether the dinim of behema or chaya are relevant to them. So therefore, so in each of these cases, we're going to say if we hold they're a behema, then they can be gordas korbanos, oisav esvenoi would apply to them, and matonis would apply to them and everything, and you can't eat their chaylev. If you say that they're chayas, then you do have to do kisi adam, their chaylev would be mutter, and oisav esvenoi and matonis wouldn't apply to them. So the bottom line is you have different opinions on this, and then, as far as the buffalo, then in Shulchan Aruch, it says you don't have to do kisi adam, and then Amos says maybe it's the shor habor of our Gemara over here, so therefore better to cover it without a bracha or that Amal says shech the bird, which anyway is chayv and kisi adam, and then make the bracha on that, and then that way you might see the buffalo because of a suffix. And then also you have when it comes to the simonim of behema and chaya, so the shor havor would be considered a behema, and therefore the chaylev is osir, and it's potter from kisi adam. The Shach points out that Amar doesn't say anything about it being a suffix, because the Amar relied on the fact he already explained it in Hilchos Kisi Adam. Or the Pre-Chodesh says when it comes to Kisi Adam, you have to be Machmir because it might be considered a Chaya and it requires Kisi Adam. And over there is, after all, a way of doing it. You can shech the bird, and therefore I understand it's a Chumra Ba'alma. So therefore, the Amar mentions that you should do that as opposed to Simoni Chaya. They are better to just say that it's considered like a behemah, and the chaylev is also. In this connection, also, there's a question brought up whether you can use the horns of a buffalo for a shofar. The question would basically be: do we definitely consider it some kind of kosher animal? On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out, if we consider it to be a shur, then we say a shofar from a shur is possible, and since this might be a shur, then therefore you can't. In any case, also, the question would be whether it has hollow horns anyway. The Mishnah said Ketzad, so then the Mishnah had started going through a bunch of scenarios, since we said that Osev Es Benoy applies to both Cholin and Kodshim, so we went through in the Mishnah a whole bunch of different scenarios where you have two animals of Cholin or two animals of Kodshim, or one Kodshim and one Cholin, and both of them were shechted inside or outside the Azara, and we went through many different scenarios of in what cases one or both of them are going to be Chayav Malkus, in which cases one of them is going to be Chayav Kodesh, in which cases they're Potter, in which cases the animals can and can't be eaten, and so forth. Now, one thing we said over there is that even, for example, you have a korban right, in a number of the scenarios we had, let's say that the animal is kodshim and you shechted it outside the azara, nevertheless, we said that still counts as a shechita, and now if the other one were to be shechted in the azara, then you have an issur, whether in the azara or outside it, in the different scenarios, then you have a din of osev es benoy. So the Gemara says, Amar Abishi, kol mas nisnin, v'loik Reb Shimon. Our entire Mishnah is not like the opinion of Reb Shimon. Namely, Reb Shimon is going to say, as we're going to say in a few lines, that he holds that a shchita is considered a shchita only if it's a suitable shchita that would make the animal be kosher to eat. And in the case of cholin v'azara, or in the case of kodshim outside the azara, that's not. So Rabbi Yishai says, Mimai, how do we know that? Midikotoni, Kodshim Bachotz, because one of the cases in the Mishnah was that both you have the Osev Es Benoy, were both Kodshim, and were both shechted outside the Azara. So we said, Harishin Chayev Kodesh, so the first person who shecht is Chayev Kodesh because he did Shchutei Chutz. The second one we say is, already, once the other one, parent or child, was shechted on that day, then we said he can't shecht the other one on that day, And therefore it's considered Mechusar's man. It's the wrong time to bring it, and therefore it couldn't have been brought as a korban, and therefore a person is not chayv kares for shechting it outside of his mikdash. Now, but the Mishnah had said, Shneim psulin, both of them are possible because they're both kodshim that were shechted outside, Shneim seifim esabroim, and he said both of them are getting malchus, the first one for shchutei chutz and the second one for osev es benoy. Now, says Rabbi Yishai, Mechdi Sham Inim Leiv Reb Shimon. Now we're going to see in on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph in tomorrow's daf that Reb Shimon holds. We find that Reb Shimon holds the Omar that he says Shchita Sheinu Ruya Lo Shema Shchita. A Shchita that is not suitable, that doesn't make the animal mutter to eat, is not called a Shchita. We're going to have examples over there. We're going to have a Mishnah, for example, a person shechts it and it ends up being Tshefa, or he shechts one of them for Avodah Zarah, or different other examples like that, where Reb Shimon is going to say he's Potter, because he's Potter from Osev Es Benoy, because that's not considered a Shechita. So it would come out in our case of Kodshim over here then, if the Mishnah went appointed of Shimon, then you couldn't say that the first one, you couldn't say that the second one then is going to be Chayav Malkus for Osev Es Benoy, because the first one appointed of Shimon has not really, in the case where it's Kodshim and they're both outside the Azara, neither one has done a valid Shechita, because neither one is being mocked of the animal to eat. So he wouldn't be chayav Malkus for it. So therefore, we would say kama mikto kaple. So we have to consider, therefore, what would happen is we would have to learn the din differently. The first one, we would in effect say that he killed without shlita because it was a kodshim outside the azara. So therefore, it would be considered there was no shlita over here. Now, when it comes to being chayav koris for shchote chot, then yeah, we have xeris akosiv, but nevertheless he's chayav. But for most other purposes, we're not going to consider it a shchita. And therefore, so now, you would actually be able to shech the other one. It wouldn't be considered mechusus man. It would have been perfectly kosher to bring it into the azara. Sheni miskabel b'fnimhu. Therefore, at this point, the second one would have been accepted inside the Beis Mikdash. And if instead he didn't, and he shechted it outside the azara, koris nami b'chayev, then he should be chayev koris as well. And yet the Mishnah is saying only the first person is chayev koris. So the first one is going to be chayev koris because shchotei chutz, and the second one should also be chayev koris because of shchotei chutz. So the fact that our Mishnah doesn't say that way shows that the Mishnah is not like Rav Shimon. Then continues Rav Oshia. Here's another example from the Mishnah where we see that it's not like Rav Shimon. Chulin b'fnim. We said another example was. Another example is that both of them were chulin and both of them were shechted in the azara. Shneim psulin, so both of them apostle because chulin shenishchatu ba'azara. But we said v'asheni sofik as aboim, but the second one gets malchus because of osev esvenoi. Again, nechti shaminin levi Rav Shimon dam shchita sheinu ruya lo shma shchita. Now again, given that we know Rav Shimon holds that shchita sheinu ruya is not considered a valid shchita, and that means that for the chulin which was shechted in the azara are not going to be valid, because they're you can't eat them because they were chulin that was shechted in the azara, and it's also to eat them. So therefore, kama mikto kape. So again, we would have to consider, in effect, the first one was killed without a valid shchita. Sheni amai sofik es aboyim. Why would the second one be getting malchus? The second person didn't shecht oisiv es benoy. In other words, because the oisai, the first one, was not shechted with something that would be considered a valid shechita according to Rav Shimon. If nevertheless the Mishnah is telling us that the second person is going to be chayev malchus, then clearly that's not like Rav Shimon. So far we have two examples in the Mishnah that we see the Mishnah does not go like Rav Shimon. In other words, we can't even think. Sometimes the Gemara will tell us that a Mishnah is partially like one Tana and partially like another. Here, Rav Oshia is going to go systematically through a number of the cases in the Mishnah and show that none of them work according to Rav Shimon. So again, the first one we said, where both of them are kodshim outside, then we said the first one is chayev koris, and both of them are chayev malchus. But no, according to Rav Shimon, instead we should have to say the first one is chayev koris, but the second one would actually be chayev koris as well, because the second animal would have been capable of being brought as a korban on that same day, since the first one did not undergo what Rav Shimon would call a valid shchita. And then again, in the second example, with chulin b'fnim, both of them, then we're saying, the Tana of the Mishnah says that the second one will get malchus, whereas according to Rav Shimon, he shouldn't be getting malchus because the first one didn't do a valid shchita. And for that matter, the second one is not doing a valid shchita either. Then here's another example. Kodshim b'fnim. We said that both of them are kodshim in the azara. So then harisha and kosher u'potter. So the first one is a perfectly kosher korban, and the person who did it is potter. He didn't do anything wrong. Vasheni sofik es aboyim, and the second one gets malchus because osev esvenoi or possible, but the korban is possible because mechus is man. Here also we can demonstrate that this Mishnah, that this part of the Mishnah does not go according to Rav Shimon either. Because let's consider it. Again, Shemin and Levit of Shemin Dom Shchita Sheinu Ruya Lo Shma Shchita. He holds that Shchita Sheinu Ruya is not a valid Shchita. Now you have to consider, according to Rav Shimon, shchitas kodshim nami shchita sheinu ru'yehi. Now Rav Shimon should have to hold that shchita of kodshim is also not considered a shchita which is ru'yeh, because Because it's true, of course, that once you shech most kodshim, you can eat them, but nevertheless, the fact is you can't yet. The fact is, until you sprinkle the blood, then it doesn't become mutter to eat yet. So therefore, so we can't say that the shechita itself is considered roy. So according to Reb Shimon, the whole concept that we said at the beginning of the perek, that Osev Espinoy applies to Kodshim, it can't really, according to Reb Shimon. The first one would not be considered a Shchita Ro'oya, because the first one is not considered a Shchita until the Zrika is done. So therefore, it shouldn't really be considered and even if you do sprinkle the blood, then it doesn't retroactively make a shchita to be even if you were to shech the second one after the first one was sprinkled, it would still be considered the first one was shchita shena roya, because at the time of the shchita, it wasn't roya yet. Tosfos also discusses what about Reb Shimon himself holds that when blood is meant to be sprinkled, it's considered as though it was sprinkled already. Nevertheless, though, that would only apply after it was received in a mizrak. And he also, Tosfos says, the fact is you need the shchita alone to make it mutter, which is true of cholin, is not true of kodshim. Then Tosfos gets into a further discussion about that we do consider it other contexts. We consider shchita of kodshim to be shchita ru'uya. So why don't we over here and then a whole discussion about that. Tosfos also discusses a point further on. We're going to have something where Rashi takes out words from the Gemara to make it fit later on, and Daf Aleph to fit with his shchita. That over here, and Tosfos discusses that not necessarily we could keep those words in. Anyway, the point is, according to Reb Shimon, a shchita is not going to be considered a shchita unless it itself is what's matter the animal to eat, and not that you have the shchita plus the zrika, which is the case with korbanos. Well then, Shenya, my circuit is our volume apostle, so why should we say in the case where it was two kodshim in the azara, we're going to say that the second one is getting malchus for oisiv espinoi? And the shchita itself is possible because mechoser zman. Why, according to Reb Shimon, we should say the first one was not considered a shchita, and therefore there's no issur of mechoser zman, and there's nothing wrong with the second. There's nothing wrong with shechting the second one. So therefore, the second one should not be chayav malchus, and the korban should be perfectly kosher. So in other words, needless to say, he shouldn't get malchus, but we should even say that the second one is, we should even say that the first, that the second one is perfectly, that both of them are perfectly kosher korbanos. So why is the Mishnah telling us that it's, why is the Mishnah telling us that it's possible? So it comes out according to Rashi. Here's the major machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. It comes out from the way Rashi is learning the Gemara over here that Reb Shimon would say that Bechlal Osev Espinoi doesn't even apply to Kodshim, because by Kodshim, since only the Shchita by itself is not enough, you need also the Zrika, then therefore Reb Shimon would not consider the Shchita to be a Shchita, and therefore he would say that Osev Espinoi is irrelevant. And here's where Tosfos is saying that no, in fact, there can be, even Reb Shimon would agree that Osev Espinoi will apply to Kodshim, and there can't even be Malchus, the same way as Reb Shimon holds by Shchotei Chutz that it will apply. But you have a special Gzeres HaKosev, but nevertheless, we would only say that, you would say that when does it apply? When the second one is Kodshim, but not the first one. So Tosfos gets into various discussions of how we could say, in fact, Tosfos brings another Gusa in the Gemara over here at the end. Tosfos brings from Abin Atam that, why, never mind the apostle, but why is he getting Malchus? Ella, so we see from all of that, Shmamina, the like Reb Shimon, so we see from that that clearly our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon. Okay, well, the Gemara says Pshita Dehochi. So, well, yeah, obviously it must be so. Once we know that Reb Shimon holds Shchita Shein Ruya, Loishma Shchita, and then therefore, so why does Reb Oshia need to spell it out for us using all these scenarios of the Mishnah? Obviously, it can't really work according to Reb Shimon. And the answer is Shittas Kodshim Etzrichalei. The Chiddush Reb Oshia wanted to point out is particularly this last point that the Shchita of Kodshim, according to Reb Shimon, is not considered a valid Shchita. You would have thought. After all, it is a valid shchita. After all, what if he didn't do a shchita? What if he stabbed the animal or did something else, whipped it or whatever? Not a valid shchita. And then he sprinkled the blood. Obviously, the meat doesn't become mutter to eat. You have to shecht it properly. The kishocha mishteri boser, as opposed to if he did do a proper shchita and then do the zirka, then the meat becomes mutter. So you see, in other words, maybe you could argue, you see from that, the shchita is the primary thing that makes it mutter to eat. Therefore, shchita ro'yi, or shchita ro'yi. Therefore, maybe you should consider it a shchita ro'yi, even according to Reb Shimon. At all, according to Rashi, or in all cases, according to Tosfos. Kamash Malan, therefore, Reb Oshia wants to tell us that no, Reb Shimon would hold that the shchita of Kodshim is not really considered a shchita, because to be considered a shchita, it has to be that it exclusively is what's matter the animal to be eaten. And in the case of Kodshim, you also need Zvika, and therefore also the case involving Kodshim Bifnim, according to Reb Shimon, our Mishnah would not work according to that understanding of Reb Shimon, and therefore Reb Oshia wants you to know that that's the correct understanding of what Reb Shimon holds as far as Shchita Sheinu Ro'yah. Fine. So the Gemara asks now, let's talk about more this case of Kodshim Bifnim. We're saying that if both of them are Kodshim Bifnim, the first one is it did nothing wrong, and the second one is getting Malchus because Oisav Esvinoi. So the Gemara asks, Luki Nami Mishum Lavda Machosas Man. Why isn't he also getting Malchus for the Lav? Machosas Man. He's bringing a korban that can't be brought at this time. Even though he wasn't makhluk yet, Rashi explains, you should be chayav right away on the shchita. Because the same way the Torah tells us that you're not allowed to bring an underage animal as a korban, and in this case it's the equivalent of underage because its mother or its baby was already shechted, and therefore it's off limits for the rest of the day. The time has, in fact, we learn in a braisa. When the Pasuk says that you're not allowed to bring an animal with a mum as a korban, and you have an issue in the Torah, lo yerotzeh, it will not be accepted by Hashem, so don't bring it as a korban. Then, and a braisa says, minayim achol psulim shebasher v'shebaser, how do we know that all the psulim that apply to an ox or seh, shehuba lo yerotzeh, that all of them, the din applies that lo yerotzeh, Hashem says they will not be acceptable, and therefore you're not allowed to bring it as a korban, and Rashi brings from the Gemara and Tzmura. It means a person is not allowed to makdish it, he's not allowed to shecht it, he's not allowed to sprinkle the blood, he's not allowed to burn the imurim, or he's not allowed to burn all the imurim, and he's not even allowed to burn some of them. So there can be five different isurim that a person can be over when he brings a baal mum. And how do we know the same thing applies to other psalim? Talmud Lema, b'sher v'seh, saru of a kolot, therefore the pasuk says, a shur or a seh, that is sarua, that has one of the paired limbs larger than the other, for example, one eye or one leg or whatever larger than the other, the kolot, or where it has unsplit hooves. It was born as a mutant with unsplit hooves, and the pasuk says you can't bring them, and the pasuk says you can't bring them as korbanos. Now the words v'sher v'seh are extra over there. We're talking about korbanos. It could have said v'saru of a kolot. Therefore, we learn from that. So therefore, we learn from that about all the psulim that apply to a shur and a seh, shuhuba lo yerotzeh, that all of them, you have this din of lo yerotzeh, that Hashem will not accept them as a korban, and therefore that there are all these various isurim as far as being makdish them and as far as shechting them, and so forth. Now one of the psulim is mechusar zman. So then a person should be chayav malchus also for mechusar zman. Why not? And the answer is, sure, he would, but kika choshev lavi de oisiv es b'noi. But our Mishnah is only trying to list the isurim, the lavim that come into play because of oisiv es b'noi. Lavi nuchroi, loika choshev, as opposed to other lavim that he might be over on during the shchita, loika choshev, the Mishnah is not listing that. So in other words, yes, this person, in our case, where the first one was kodshim, where both of them were Kodshim Bazar, the mother and the baby, and he shechted one, and now he shechted the other, and we're saying the second one is going to be chayev for Oisiv Es V'noi. Yes, he's also going to be chayev for Mechusar's man. But the Mishnah is not listing that because he's not getting into that. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? V'loi, what do you mean? It's not listing other Isurim, other Malchus, or Kodshim Mechutz, the Lavin Chroininu. What about the case of Kodshim where they were shechted outside the Azara? Those are other Lavim that are not relevant to Oisiv Es V'noi. The Kachoshim, and the Mishnah mentioned them, the Kachoni, because it said Kodshim Mechutz, that both of them were Kodshim outside the Azara, Harishin Chayev Kardis, and the first person is Chayev Kardis because he shechted Shchutei Chutz, the second one not, because he said once the first one was shechted, then the second one is Mechutz's man, according to the Chachamim, not according to Reb Shimon, as we said before. Shneim Soifkinas Abroim, and both of them are getting Malkus. So what's the Malkus? Bishlema Sheni Mishum Lab Da Oisav Es Benoi. Now why is the second one getting Malkus? Because of Oisav Es Benoi. Ela Rishon, but why is the first one getting Malkus? Amai Soifik. After all, what Lav was he over? He was Chayav Koris, but what other Lav is he Chayav that he's Chayav Malkus? Lav Mishum Lav the Shchotechutz. Isn't it necessarily that he was over on Shchotechutz? So the end, we see that the Mishnah does list it. So therefore, so if the Mishnah is listing that, then why in the case of Kodesh Mifnim would it not also be listing that he's Chayav for Oisav Es Benoi and also chayev for mechusas nine? And the answer is because the way the Tana wants to present the matter is kol hecha deleka lav to oisav es benoi. Whenever there's no malchus for the lav of oisav es benoi, chosh of lav and uchroi, then the Tana will mention even other lavim that are not relevant. So in our case over here, the first person is not going to be chayev for oisav es benoi because if it's the first one, there's no chiyuv yet. So therefore, so it's going to mention any lav that he's over on at this point, namely even shchotichutz. But when you have a case when a person is chayev for the lav of oisav es benoi, namely the second person, loy choshev, so then the Tana is not going to list other, lavim that are not relevant to oisav es benoi. So therefore, so in other words, whenever we talk about the second person, where already there's a lav of oisav es benoi involved, then we're not going to talk about what other lavim he might have been over and is chayev malchus for. But instead, we're focusing on Oisav Es Benoi. But when you're talking about a person who is not chayev for Oisav Es Benoi, namely because what he shechted was the first animal, then we're going to mention any other lav that is relevant to him, such as shchotechutz or such as whatever. So in fact, in the case that we're talking about, the two kodshim in the Azara, in fact, the second person is going to be chayev double malchus, one for Oisav Es Benoi, one for mechusas man. But the Mishnah is not mentioning that. The Mishnah is just because the Mishnah's main focus is on Oisav Es Benoi. That's one answer. Then we'll continue tomorrow. But Hashem, we'll talk about another answer of why, in fact, maybe he actually wouldn't be Chayav Malkus from Mechusas Man anyway. We'll discuss that point tomorrow. But then.